him to change. Well, I hate to break it to you, little girl. That ain't gonna happen. He's got my genes.
Chris is a good man.
No, he's not. You just want him to be.
Her lips pressed into a tight line. Chris is right. You do hate him. You hate the fact that he's supposed to usurp your throne. You can't stand that there are prophecies about him, divinations that claim he'll take your place.
She angled her chin and spat.
You're scared.
Me? Scared? Lucifer chuckled, a sound that echoed flatly in the stone chamber. I fear nothing, little girl, least of all him.
He jabbed a finger in Chris's direction.
The very idea. Ridiculous. Is it?
Then you're weak.
Now you're just spouting nonsense.
Am I? It won't be long before everyone knows it. They'll whisper it at first, talk about how you couldn't stop a witch from killing your son. Then, because you won't be able to deny it, they'll shout it. The Lord of Hell is too weak and scared to protect his own family.
I see what you're doing, little girl. Trying to goad me into acting. It won't work.
He leaned forward and grinned.
Who do you think invented reverse psychology?
Call it what you like. When Madame Laveau sacrifices your son at midnight to consume his power, all will know the mighty Lucifer was a yellow-bellied pussy.
I'm not a coward. Me not acting is smart. He's a threat to me. He should die.
Because you're terrified, he can beat you.
Frustration blew out of his nose as a spiral of smoke. You're twisting my words.
Just pointing out the obvious. Lucifer is scared, scared of his son because he is weak. The devil is a pussy.
She sang the taunts, and he reached for her. Only his hand passed through her ghostly body. She smirked. A slip of a girl, prisoner in a tomb, smirked at him. I should kill you right now.
Go ahead, she said, waving her hand at her body. Kill me, a defenseless, unconscious woman, because that will so improve your reputation. Said with exaggeration and a roll of her eyes.
I am really starting to dislike you.
And like her in the same token. She had spirit, courage, things he hated unless they were used to provoke and cause havoc. Then they were admirable traits. I really don't give a rat's ass what you think. You're not as badass as I thought. A true Lord of Hell wouldn't be so chicken to act.
The cluck went well with the flap of her arms. Zing. The insult was annoying, yet elegant. You'll make fine grandchildren if you live, he noted. I will expect at least one of them to bear my name. He waved his hand, the spell keeping them under easy to dissipate for a demon of his stature. Count this as an early wedding gift.
You're helping us escape?
She blinked in surprise. No, but I will give you a fighting chance by waking your bodies. Survival will be up to you.
She smiled. That's all we need, a chance.
I also want a promise. Leave your father alone.
No.
If you want what's best for my son, then you'll heed my warning.
I do want what's best for him.
Then stop him from his path. By trying to rule the world, he'll only destroy himself.
Not that Lucifer cared or anything. This wouldn't be the first son he lost to prophecy, who thought he could change things. In the end, they all lost. If it's any consolation, I don't want him to end the world. So, on that, we're agreed.
His son began to rouse, his eyelids twitching. I have to go. Leave before he had to deal with thanks from his child. The horror.
Also, something tugged at him.
A future event that he needed to attend. Dinner with Muriel and her beau. He couldn't wait to fast forward in time and see what she had waiting for him.
Even his seers couldn't tell him what to expect.
He hoped it was roast beef and mashed potatoes with gravy. Oryk was an excellent cook. Although he might tease them about getting Chinese food just to needle Muriel's feline boyfriend. What fun! He rubbed his hands with glee as he stepped into a time warp,
one that shot him into the future and had him coming face to face with his past. But that story belongs elsewhere. This is Chris's tale. Chapter 16. Isabel opened her eyes in time to see Lucifer, sporting the most awful plaid suit, disappear into the very air itself. So his appearance wasn't a dream. Holy crap, I mouthed off to Satan. And lived. Epic. What of Christopher, though? She rolled onto her side to see him staring at the ceiling with more interest than it deserved. She checked it out to see if she'd missed something, but no, it was still strung with soot marks and cobwebs. No divine messages or easy escape. Pushing up on her elbows, she took a better look around. Fat candles in wall sconces lit the boxy space, so at least they weren't stuck in the dark, but that was about as positive as it got. I had the weirdest dream, Chris stated, his voice flattened by the stone all around him. In it my father was here, and you were bitching him out. He asked you to stop looking for your dad. You essentially told him to piss off, and then he said he'd help us. Kind of. Not a dream, she stated, although his idea of helping could have included a key or a battering ram. Getting to her feet, she noted the only way out of the crypt, the currently closed door. No point in shoving it. She highly doubted that Madame Laveau had lived this long by being stupid. She would have made sure it was locked just in case the sleeping spell wore off. Since the door wouldn't provide escape, she checked out the rest of the space. As crypts went, it was rather large, enough that they could both be thrown on the floor without touching each other. There were no windows, although the walls did hold niches, deep and high shelves holding coffins, four on each wall, including the one at the back. Tarnished brass plaques on each shelf were etched, most likely with names and dates, but she didn't care whom she shared this tomb with. She wanted out. Examining the walls and niches only further reinforced the lack of escape routes. No hidden exits that she could see. All she had was a man muttering about how he was going to kill a certain witch. That fucking bitch! How dare she knock me out and think she could use me as some kind of ingredient to make her stronger? He paced the crypt, slamming his fist against the stone, accomplishing nothing but scraping his knuckles. Odd how sometimes he could almost move mountains, but at other times was as mundane as she was. When push came to shove, though, and they worked together, they always prevailed. For some reason, that made her wonder. Chris, do you ever have episodes when I'm not around? Episodes like what? Imagining a snake pit in my living room, eyes peering at me from the mirror? Depends on the drugs I'm doing. And why is that important right now? No, you misunderstood. I meant episodes as in things exploding or moving without you touching them. Things like when the dead come to life. Oh, you mean magic shit. Yes. Does it ever happen when we're not together? Of course it does, said quickly. Only he frowned. Actually, now that I think about it, I think I only managed to use my superpower once or twice. Once when I blew open the door at the church because I was pissed, and another time was because I thought that swamp monster had killed you. But other than that, yeah, you've been there for all of it. Why? His brows drew together with suspicion. Are you going to tell me it's you with the magic, not me? That I'm just a fucking loser who thinks he's great? She gaped. No, idiot. Don't be so defensive all the time. What I'm trying to say is, what if us, together, is what gives you access to your power? Or at least boosts what you have. What do you mean? The more she thought about it, the more it made sense. Think of it as a battery, a positive and a negative. Separate, they don't do anything, but give them contact and presto, shit happens. His expression brightened. Or maybe I'm the machine that needs a battery to work. His gaze fixed her. I need you. Something about his expression caused her to shiver. He looked so dark, so dangerous. "Are you really going to gloat about using me just to have magic?"
"It's not gloating, Ducky. It's just one more reason why you and I are meant to be together."
A reason she suddenly didn't like. Does he really love me for me? Does he love me at all? The doubt crept in, and she had to force it back out. Exactly how many tests would she put Chris through before she believed him? He was already putting himself on the line before their new theory about his magic. The fact that they worked so well as a team was only further proof, as he said, that they were meant to be together. "Shall we give the theory a test?" she asked, holding out her hand. He laced his fingers through hers, and this time, because she was looking for it, she felt a tremor.
"Did you feel that?" he asked.
"Yes." His grip tightened on her, and to the sides and behind them they heard knocking, a rattling of caskets as the dead woke.
"Think that's us too?" he asked.
"Maybe your mom was a necromancer," she remarked. "It would explain her affinity with the dead."
"My mom also thinks we should leave your dad alone."
"Why is everyone so scared of my dad?" she muttered.
"I don't know, but I gotta say, it makes me more determined than ever to get him out."
Her turn to squeeze his hand. "I love you."
"Ditto, Ducky."
Not exactly the most eloquent of words, but she'd take it.
"So how shall we do this? Do we have a plan?"
"Other than surviving?" he grinned at her. "What do you say we blow this joint and teach an old witch a lesson?"
"I say lead on, fiancé, soon to be husband." And being a Rasputin, she just had to add,
"Her head would make a nice wedding gift."
"As my queen commands."
He lifted their joined hands and stared at the door. Everything around them shook. The crypt, the coffins, cracks appeared. Something fell hard behind them. Isabel didn't turn to look. She stared straight ahead as the door groaned and creaked before exploding into chunks. When the dust settled, they stepped through the opening and were met by a crowd led by Madame Laveau. Despite the tiny army arrayed against them, Chris showed no fear, no hesitation. He smiled and quite gleefully, with flames dancing in his eyes, said,
"Hello again."
Whereas Isabel pulled a page from Evangeline's book and exclaimed, "We're back, bitches!" Not long after, all hell broke loose. Chapter 17. Power coursed through him. Chris could feel it. It energized him. And this time, since he knew to look for it, he also felt where it came from. Isabel. She was the kickstart to his battery, and when he let go of her hand, the energy still simmered within. So much glorious power. Madame Laveau faced him. Wearing a more somber outfit, her headscarf a deep midnight blue, her loose gown of the same color but patterned with silver thread.
"You shouldn't have taken us prisoner," he told her, wagging a finger. "That wasn't very nice."
"Wait until I spill your blood when the moon rises," the witch boasted. "You'll like it even less."
He cocked his head. "Do you really think I'm going to allow that to happen?"
"It's just you and the little lady,"
Laveau remarked.
"Whereas I not only have my magic, I also brought friends."
By friends, she meant Guillaume and a crowd of others. So many bodies filling the spaces in between the crypts. Living bodies that obeyed her command. "I see your army, and I will raise it. Behold the power of the willful king. Kneel before me, or join the ranks of the dead."
He lifted his hands and raised those arms high in the air, more for theatrics than anything else. It did give a nice effect, though, especially since the very ground trembled. Isabel sidled close.
Chris, what are you doing?
Saving our asses. You can thank me later. With a BJ, goddammit, because he'd earned one. From behind him, in the crypt they'd escaped, shambled corpses, those freed by his machinations. The bodies in advanced modes of decay staggered toward Laveau and her minions. However, her people came prepared. Out came the machetes, lopping off heads and limbs until his tiny army was gone. What of those he could feel all around? Why didn't they answer? He could sense them, their spirits ready and willing and trapped. A rich chuckle erupted from Madame Laveau.
Poor little devil, Junior. Did you really think it would be so easy? These crypts were made to withstand the rising of the dead. This is New Orleans. We take our zombie business very seriously.
In other words, his army couldn't come to help. The crypts trembled and shook, but the denizens couldn't escape. Blasting the tombs open would free them, but would take time. Fuck. Isabel must have grasped the dilemma, because she whispered, "Now what do we do?" Smite those standing against him, of which there were many. Give up. There is no hope. I can use my power. Do I have enough to destroy everyone opposing me? Then again, there was only one person he needed to take down in order to disperse the rest. One person to control.
Quick question, he murmured to Isabel, watching Madame's smirk widen as her minions approached. Is Laveau dead or alive?
I don't know, she said, replying slowly. She is obviously who she says she is. I do know spells to prolong life exist. My grandfather is proof. But is she alive? She shrugged. She was known for her voodoo arts, as was her daughter. Not the answer he'd hoped for, but he still decided to test his theory.
Cover me? He asked, trusting in Isabel and her sword to keep people off him long enough to try something.
Because here was the thing. Christopher appeared able to control the dead. And if Laveau was dead, then things were about to get interesting. He strode toward her, unsure how close he needed to be.
She cackled. Look at him, coming to meet his fate. She clapped her hands. Seize him!
Hands began to reach, but Isabel was there, slashing with her magical blade, drawing yelps and blood from anyone who dared get too close. Skilled as she was, she couldn't fight them all for long. They'd only need to rush her to put an end to this last-ditch effort. So Chris raised his hands once again, more to focus than anything else. He caught Madame Laveau's gaze, caught it, and held it. Saw her open her mouth as he tugged, pulled on his magic, and directed it at her.
"Obey me," he said.
She shook her head, brushing off the suggestion with a laugh.
"I obey no one, not even the Antichrist."
But he'd learned something interesting. She'd felt the push. This might work.
"Isabel, touch me."
"Kind of busy," she huffed, slashing at the creeping hands.
"Trust me, ducky, touch me."
For the first time in his life, someone trusted him. Isabel pressed herself against his back, squirming as she still fought to defend them. Sparse contact, but it was enough. The power in him surged, and he aimed it all at the woman in front of him, the witch who thought she could use the destroyer of nations. Her eyes widened as his magic hit her. This time when he spoke, "Kneel for me, witch," she hit the ground hard on her knees. Even more interesting, a good number of her followers did too, including Guillaume. That's more like it. His words, while spoken softly, nonetheless projected, echoing through the graveyard, bringing a cold silence in their wake. Was he the only one who heard the proud utterance? "That's my son. Not now, mother."
Now that we've ascertained who is in control, how about you answer our question?
Chris flashed a glance over his shoulder. "Ask her, ducky. Ask this witch how to free your father." Moving away from his back, but keeping one hand pressed to him at all times, Isabel faced the witch. She cocked her head. "How do I free my papa?"
You'll doom us all if you let him go,
Laveau hissed. My ducky asked you a question, Chris growled. Subjects should always answer their queen. How do we bring back her father? The witch strained and fought against the demand. Her mouth opened, and she struggled not to speak. Chris crushed her spirit in a magical fist. Tell me.
The body must rejoin the spirit.
What body? He's been dead for a while.
Not dead. Preserved.
What? Isabel gasped.
Where? By who?
Again, the witch fought not to reply, but the words were forced out.
There is an old Eden crypt on your land. He is under it, but you mustn't go,
Laveau managed to exclaim.
If you yank him fully back from the realm he is guarding, then all is lost.
As if I'd believe anything you say, Isabel scoffed. Chris didn't tell her that the witch spoke the truth, at least the truth as she knew it. What of my mother? Who is she? Tell me. He held the witch prisoner, her undead force in the palm of his hand. It would only take a little squeeze for the answer.
Your mother is...
He never did get an answer, because the crypts chose that moment to explode. Dust and rocks and debris flying through the air. He covered Isabel with his body, burying his face in her hair. When the initial damage subsided, and he looked again, he cursed because a sharp chunk of stone had sheared Laveau's head from her shoulders, and another pulverized it, or so the stray scrap of material and brain matter on the ground indicated. There would be no reply. The army he'd called finally spilled from their tombs, hands grasping, ready to do his bidding and save him from those who remained. Except, Laveau's minions had lost motivation with their mistress gone. They ran, frenzied followers who made easy pickings for the dead. He ignored their screams for help, just as they would have ignored his. In the chaos, he and Isabel escaped. Chapter 18. The trip back to their motel proved easier than expected. As the army of dead fought those remaining of Madame Laveau's, she and Chris ran from the cemetery. A beautiful one, she should add, full of regal stone crypts and neat pathways. Before they'd ruined it, anyway. They emerged from the destruction to see Isabel's car sitting by the curb. Goshen, the dog she'd forgotten about in the commotion of their capture and escape, sat beside it, looking smug. Keys dangled from his mouth. You don't think he... Chris didn't finish the sentence. Dogs don't drive. Normal dogs didn't. However, her pet was anything but normal. We should leave before the cops arrive. Because explaining how and why they were in a cemetery at night with dead bodies, both decayed and fresh, everywhere might be a tad difficult. I'll drive. He snatched the keys from Goshen, and she might have argued, but the man did love her, and because of him, she knew where her father was. They hopped into the car, Goshen commandeering the rear seat, while Christopher got behind the wheel. Isabel had barely buckled in when he tore out of there, pinging a parked car and giving her baby a new dent. The evil glare she sent his way was met with a, "What? I barely touched it. I think the ground moved and put that heap of junk in my way."
"You suck at driving."
She grabbed the oh shit bar as he took a corner too fast, and they bumped over a curb. "As long as we get there alive, I'd say I'm doing great." How about getting there with no new scratches or dents? Minor details. And you could say thank you.
For what? I was helping back there in case you hadn't noticed.
I did notice. You're an epic fighter to have by my side in battle and should have a cool title like me. Say, like, Queen of Ass Kicking or She Who Will Poke Your Eye Out. How about She Who Is Going to Give You a Black Eye If You Don't Pay Attention to the Road? He darted her a glance. Is that any way to talk to your future husband? We're not married yet. We will be. It won't be long now before I drag your ass in front of a priest And kill him with your presence, she snickered. Just because Chris hadn't ignited the last time they went into a church didn't mean he'd remain safe. The more he fell into his role as the destroyer, the more likely anything holy would reject him. I'm sure I can find a corrupt priest to conduct the ceremony and make you mine. The possessive words gave her a delightful shiver. Soon, she'd be his wife, but that didn't mean she'd coo and fawn all over him. We haven't saved my daddy yet. Details. Details we should discuss, she said as he took another sharp corner and took out a newspaper box. Everyone is telling us to leave him alone, that bringing him back will be bad. And? What do you mean, and? It's something we should think about. Her conscience nagged her, asked if she could be so selfish. People have been telling me all my life that I'm going to cause an apocalypse. Do you think I should die? No, of course not. Why not? Everyone says I should probably do the world a favor and go away. The way I hear it, the Templars are out to get me. My mother has designs. Even my own father would prefer if someone shanked me. Which is just wrong, she huffed. You haven't done anything yet. Exactly. And neither has your dad. So are you going to obey a bunch of assholes who haven't done shit to help us? Or listen to your own heart? She blinked. You're right. Why do I give a damn what they want? She knew her papa. He wasn't an evil man. He deserved another chance at life. This is why I love you. You only care about me. She threw herself at him, and was the reason why he swerved and took out a parked car's side mirror. She didn't chide him for that one. She snuggled him. So does this mean we're going to rescue your dad? Damn straight we are. What about the wedding? How soon can we have it? I thought guys were supposed to avoid getting hitched at all costs. Most guys don't get you. More words to warm her heart. I'll tell Mother to grab my wedding binder and start working on the details. She'd planned her true wedding for a long time now. Unlike the first attempt, she planned to go all out with her next one. It would cost her grandfather a fortune, which served him right. Having lost her purse during the kidnapping from Madame Laveau's, she'd have to wait to reach a phone to call. Mother would be so happy the wedding was back on. No matter what happened with her father now, Isabel knew Chris loved her. And she couldn't wait to show him how much she loved him. Arriving at the motel, they piled out of the car, even Goshen, who wagged his tail in front of their room door. Chris sighed as the big pup sauntered in. I guess there'll be no snuggling tonight. Give me a second, she said. Because while her well-meaning hound might want to keep her pure, Isabel had other plans for their evening, which was closer to morning, given they'd almost reached the witching hour. Gushy, baby, can you make sure no one followed us? She went to her suitcase and pulled out the box of pepperoni sticks she'd brought. I've got a treat for you if you do. The handful of cured meat went down his gullet in one big bite, and he shambled off, a menacing shadow with a purpose. Shutting the door, she leaned on it and eyed Chris with a smile. So, almost husband, what should we do now? A glint entered his eyes. How about I show you? The belt is still there, she remarked, moving toward him with a sway of her hips. That didn't stop us from having fun before. He pulled her close, his big arms wrapping tightly around her frame. The touch of his lips against hers immediately ignited her passion. A rumble of thunder rolled along with his tongue into her mouth. His hand slid into her pants, cupping her ass. The skin-to-skin contact was so exciting, the squeezes and strokes so titillating. It roused a frustration in her that they had to wait. She didn't want to wait. She growled as she pulled away from him and slapped at her hips, not actually seeing the belt in place, but feeling it, hating it. Stupid thing. She twisted her fingers in the magic of it, tugging. It didn't budge. Chris's hands lay atop hers. It's okay, ducky. We'll get rid of it soon enough. "Since when are you known for your patience?" she declared with a grumpy pout.
"Since I met you and realized some things are worth waiting for."
Sexier words had never been said.
"Well, I'm not patient."
Not anymore. All her life, Isabel had strived to be the good daughter, the level-headed progeny, the making good choices one. Then she met Chris, found her backbone, and realized she could take charge of her life. And she wanted to be in charge of her body, too. Chris held her hand still, but that didn't stop her from gripping the magic around her hips and wrapping her fingers around it as if it were real. She pulled, though she didn't just yank with her hands, but also with magic. She could feel it coursing through her, probably because she and Chris were in contact. It didn't matter where the power came from, though. She pulled and yanked and snapped the hated chastity belt. For a moment, they both stood in stunned surprise. Then their lips were meshed together, a hot embrace that didn't break as they both shuffled toward the bed. The backs of her thighs hit the mattress, and she began to sit down hard when she heard a woof.
"Not now, Goshen."
Then a growl. But it was the rock through the window, the pane shattering with the rattling chime of broken glass, that interrupted the kiss. Eyes blazing with flames, a tousled-haired Chris snarled, "What the fuck now?" Isabel understood his frustration. The world conspired against them. Would it ever end? Body bristling with anger, Chris strode to the door and flung it open. No mistaking what stood in the doorway. Isabel sighed as she saw the giant angel looming outside. So much for finishing what they'd started. Some might mistake an angel's arrival for divine intervention. She knew better. Here we go again.
Chapter 19. The angels were back. Those meddling do-gooders supposedly working for his as-yet-unmet uncle, God. A murderous rage came over Chris. But it shouldn't be mistaken for evil, just because these were God's minions. Most people imagined angels as ethereal beings, innately good and kind with big fluffy wings, white robes, and halos. The only thing they got right was the huge fluffy wings. Like, super huge. Seriously, how they managed to get through a door was beyond him. Heaven must have some huge-ass fucking doorways. As to their garb, it varied in hue, from white to a grayish silver. The fabric appeared slick and malleable, the weave so fine as to be unnoticeable. Yet it wasn't leather, even if it had some of the same attributes. Chris knew from previous encounters with them that fluid just sluiced right off. Wouldn't want blood marring their appearance. Because here was the thing the books also didn't mention. When the angels appeared, violence soon followed. Angels, seraphs, cherubs, whatever you wanted to call them, were heavenly soldiers, and they were only sent to earth to mete out God's punishment. No trial, no chance to defend yourself. Those they judged guilty were dealt with, and not in a save-your-soul kind of way. Even God's nephew wasn't exempt from their brand of justice. The last time Chris had met his uncle's soldiers, they were determined to eradicate the Antichrist. He doubted things had changed since then. Leaning against the door jamb, he surveyed the tall fellow glaring at him. Wearing a sleeveless tunic and form-fitting pants, the guy was beast-sized, wide and muscled all over, killing the idea that angels were delicate beings. This angel didn't just look like he did roids, it appeared as if he soaked in them. "What do you want?" Chris snapped, not feeling at all charitable. "I was kind of busy." Busy getting lucky. Isabel had finally lost that goddamn chastity belt. Hallelujah. About time. His balls were bouncing for joy. And they would have been bouncing off her body if this idiot hadn't interrupted with a scowl. More interesting, the seraph didn't immediately attack.
I am here for the female.
Huh? Was the eloquent comeback to that odd demand.
Hand over the female, or face the consequences.
Did this holier-than-thou prick just threaten him?
Excuse me, you do realize who you're talking to, right? Son of perdition, Antichrist, your mortal enemy.
Why he felt the need to stress this shit was beyond him. He could only blame his pricked ego that this dude appeared more interested in his fiancé than his badass.
I care not who you are. My orders say to fetch the female.
Well, you can't have her, because she's mine.
Your wishes aren't my concern. A bargain was struck.
A bargain with whom? He snapped. My father? Too fucking bad. That deadbeat shithead doesn't speak for me.
The devil of the underworld has nothing to do with the Lord's business.
Then who the fuck bargained? Because it sure as heck wasn't Chris, and he highly doubted Isabel's family would hand her over to angels, not given their somewhat evil track record. A dulcet voice replied,
A deal was struck with your mother.
How anyone missed Bambi's arrival in her clacking stiletto heels was beyond Chris. Yet there she stood, hip-angled, lips pursed, wearing a new hooker outfit of red leather, the top cropped at her midriff, and zippered up the middle. It displayed her ample cleavage, while her booty shorts exposed her legs and prominent camel toe. He made a face. Dude, as your brother, I feel obligated to mention that that outfit is super inappropriate.
You think?
Bambi smiled and twirled.
The salesperson claimed I looked like a cheap hooker.
I would have said mid-priced.
Best brother ever, she sang.
Do you mind?
Interrupted the angel being ignored. Chris turned a dark glare on the guy. I do, actually. I was chatting with my sister, and you're just being plain rude. Which didn't really bother him, but the grimace on Big Dude's face at having been caught ignoring etiquette was totally worth it.
What's happening?
Isabel asked, slipping up behind Chris. Why are you arguing with an angel? Talking with an angel, which he might add was a step up from the last time he'd encountered them intent on killing him, as was only proper. Angels were his mortal enemies. This change of tactic disturbed him. Juicehead is here for you. Supposedly, my dear old mom made some kind of deal that involves handing you over.
She can't do that, Isabel exclaimed.
No duh. Juicehead butted his large nose in.
I have orders to take her by force if necessary.
Are you seriously going to threaten my girl? Because that is not cool, dude. Not cool at all. The angel didn't soften one bit.
It is the will of God.
You mean the same God who let me languish in the foster care system? The same uncle who didn't do shit when the people who were supposed to care for me thought it was okay to use their fists? Chris didn't bear many physical scars from the abuse, nor had he suffered it long. Even as a teen, he believed in an eye for an eye, and then added interest and took a leg. People only ever hurt him once.
Man was given free will to make his own choices.
That's sanctimonious bullshit, and you know it. Maybe adults get to decide, but kids don't. Kids don't deserve a lot of the shit dished out to them. How does your God justify that? The angel clamped his lips rather than reply. Chris snorted. What a surprise, no answer. And this is why religion is a load of shit.
I am not here to argue semantics.
That's right, you're here to piss me off. Take my girl indeed. You had to know that wouldn't fly. Let me ask you, why does your boss want her? Why go after Isabel rather than the true force to be reckoned with?
Soldiers of light don't question their orders.
Juicehead's expression remained flat and expressionless. It made Chris wonder if he possessed any other looks. Maybe you should. Does this seem right to you? Again, no reply. So Chris turned to his sister.
Did you know about this?
Are you here to make sure I comply and behave like a good little Antichrist? Bambi held up her hands in a surrendering gesture.
Don't get pissy with me. I only just found out.
Dad figured you'd be bent out of shape, so he sent me up to handle it. He's kind of busy dealing with Muriel right now.
Of course he is. When didn't his younger sister take precedence? No matter he'd barely met the girl, like a proper brother, he resented her.
We can do this the easy way or the hard way, the big angel declared, cracking his thick knuckles.
At that ultimatum, Chris snickered. Oh, you did not just say that. Did no one warn you that I don't do threats? And I'm also not about to hand Isabel over to you or anyone else. You want her? Then you'll have to go through me first.
I can take this juicehead prick. Chris would just charge himself up by giving Isabel's hand a little tug, and then wham, he'd lay the guy flat, send his sister on her way back to hell with a message to Dad to fuck off, and get back to deflowering his ducky. Except he should have known fate would fuck with him yet again. The whir of wings filled the air, the deafening rub of thousands of feathers as a whole contingent of angels, dozens of the fuckers, arrived. They varied in size and appearance, some armed with swords and maces, and a few had throwing stars. Did heaven have ninja angels? Did it matter? Chris retained enough wits to know that he'd stepped into some seriously deep shit. However, he wasn't about to let his trepidation show. He'd faced shitty odds before. He had a destiny, and that destiny wouldn't have him dying today. The number one rule when preparing for a fight? Confidence. Don't let the enemy see you sweat. Chris dropped into a battle stance, legs loose, fists ready, and said, "Bring it." Isabel whispered,
Chris, you do see you're outnumbered like 30-1?
No, that's 25-1. You can have a couple if you'd like. Gracious of him, right?
What about a couple for me?
Bambi stated. Her graceful swaying walk brought her close to the big guy.
It's very naughty of you to mess with my little bro.
She ran a finger down Juicehead's chest, and the stoic expression cracked just a little.
Stand aside, succubus. Our fight is not with you.
She clucked her tongue.
That's where you're wrong. As his big sister, I kind of feel obligated to stick by him. And here's the thing. You know my father, right? Lucifer? Lord of Hell, Commander of the Legion of Darkness? You're all familiar with that name.
She leaned close to Juicehead.
Daddy didn't send his precious daughter to face you alone. I brought friends.
Bambi uttered a piercing whistle, and from the shadows crept creatures. Horned, squat, muscled, and butt-ugly creatures. Isabel breathed one word.
Demons.
She said it with such shock, yet Chris wanted to fist pump because in them he saw allies. Confidence surged in him, and his smile was very real and feral as he said, "Oh, it is on, Halo fuckers!" Chapter 20. The words acted as a catalyst, sending the scuttling demons and fluttering angels into battle. Goshen, with an excited woof, joined the fray, and Isabel spent a moment shaking her head and watching.
Is this really happening?
Then again, why was she surprised? Life with Chris was a never-ending circle of sexual frustration and battle. Kind of exciting, actually. Never a dull moment with her fiancé. What she did have to concede as odd was the side she fought on. While a Rasputin could never be said to belong to the classic side of good, Isabel never imagined one day she would face off against angels with demons by her side. Then again, she never expected to fall in love with the Antichrist, a man destined to reshape the world and, one day, rule hell.
With me as his queen.
So much had changed since she met Chris, all of it for the better, even if she once again had to draw her magical blade and defend herself.
Get the woman! Screamed an angel with blazing eyes and godly murderous intent. He charged in her direction.
The metal of her sword clanged against that of the fanatic, determined to... What exactly? kill her? But why? Whoosh, clang, parry. Could she wonder about it later? She had to fight for her life because, apparently, God wanted her dead or alive. At least she didn't fight against the massive seraph. That fellow found himself on his knees before Bambi, who wore an ecstatic look on her face, the blue mist of the angel's essence being inhaled by her rouged lips. As for Chris, much like Goshen, he jumped into the fight, swinging his fists and wrestling an angel for his weapon. Duck, parry. She focused on her own opponent. The angel that attacked Isabel was a good size, muscled, and possessing some skill with the blade. They sparred back and forth, a match of wills that at one point she realized she'd have to end. I have to disarm him. But would disarming prove enough? Maiming would be better. Kill. The single word reverberated in her head, almost caused her to lose her rhythm in shock. How could she even think of killing this man? Unlike the battles against the undead, this was a living, breathing person, an angel, someone on the side of good and light. Could she really? The tip of his sword scored a line across her arm, hot and stinging. He bled me. Apparently, he had no compunction about harming her. Why did she grant him any courtesy? Jerk, she snapped. She redoubled her efforts, no holding back anymore. He dodged her first few swings, but eventually she made it past his guard and her sword slid between his ribs. An angel died just like anyone else, slumping to the ground, eyes wide with disbelief before falling over. Guess I'm not getting invited to heaven anytime soon. Then again, she'd probably lost her invitation the moment her future with Chris was sealed. Do I care? No. She knew enough about hell to realize she'd probably fit in better there, especially if she had Chris by her side. The angel had no sooner become a non-issue when another took his place. And another. The 30 angels were joined by more, 50, 60. Who knew how many heeded some unheard command to attack? Everywhere Isabel looked, bodies engaged in battle. White, fluffy wings flared, swords flashed, claws tore, and fangs gnashed. Blood and ichor flew in all directions. It should have drawn sirens and the attention of human authorities, yet it was as if they existed in a bubble, a battle dome that hid them from sight and sound, an arena to play things out. A battle still undecided. She'd never seen such savagery and, at the same time, such grace. She only caught chaotic glimpses as she fought for her life and couldn't help but notice the frenzy, the determination. These angels weren't holding back. They might have shown up determined to take her prisoner, but they also appeared more than ready to kill her, too. In addition, they kept her away from Chris. Did they know of their secret connection? She had to wonder, because while she kept trying to fight her way to Chris, the angels got in her way, blocking her path. Blocking his path. Eyes alight with the flames of hell, Chris looked dark and dangerous. He was also quite deadly. He appeared to have acquired some kind of warhammer, its silver head matted with chunks of flesh and blood. He wielded it without finesse, whirling and heaving it at any bodies close enough, but his hits provided results. The blows downed his opponents. A second swing ensured they didn't get up again. Chris was a very vocal fighter. Isabel could hear him over the din of battle, taunting his enemies. Take that, motherfucker! Tell my uncle to keep his hands off my ducky! The man was absolutely adorable. But the forces arrayed against them were quite formidable. God appeared determined to win no matter the cost to his army of light. The demons did their best, more of them pouring from the shadows, fighting to their last gasping breaths. Isabel also fought her hardest, but the numerous nicks and blows weakened her.
Her strength bled out the longer the fight went on, and eventually, she couldn't help but sink to her knees, unable to parry a staggering blow to her head. She swayed and heard Chris holler, "Isabel!" Her lips moved, but she couldn't reply. She caught a glimpse through the blood sheeting down from her temple, gumming her lashes. Chris charging toward her, his eyes blazing in a berserker rage, swinging the hammer left and right. He made his way to her, but he didn't arrive in time. She slumped forward as a sword slid into her from the back. Gaping darkness rushed toward her, the cold and icy grip of impending death. "See you in hell, my love."
Chapter 21. When Isabel fell, Chris lost his mind. The rage consumed him, and he killed. And killed. Killed until the angels were all dead. Every single one of them. Dead. Pulverized. Only two people and a handful of demons were left standing. Chris and Bambi stood amongst the carnage while Isabel died on the ground. "Because I failed her." He'd not been able to reach her in time, could only watch in horror as an angel stabbed her in the back. The fucker died with his guts on the ground. It didn't rewind time. Isabel lay on the ground, covered in blood, her breath hitching and whistling, moments from dying. He didn't know what to do. Wail at the injustice, beat his chest, kill something else. He knelt beside her, afraid to touch and yet also wanting to gather her in his arms and rock and sob and scream. Why? He understood why people did it now, because the helplessness overwhelmed. It blanketed him in despair and anguish and, "Would you stop that?" Bambi snapped, cuffing him upside the head. "She's not dead yet, but she will die if we don't get her some help. She's been stabbed with a sword, just in case it wasn't clear." "And? It's healable." He blinked. "Is it?" he asked. "How?" He looked down at Isabel's body, and the despair swallowed him again. "She's got a huge fucking hole in her. There's blood. So much blood." It spread everywhere in a pool. "I've seen worse." "Where?" Because he'd certainly never seen anyone survive something like this, and he'd seen his fair share of shankings in his days on the streets. "Don't move. I'm gonna have to drop a portal on us." "A what?" He heard his older sister mumbling, and the air around him became charged. An icy cold wave hit him, bringing with it a blinding darkness. For a moment, he couldn't see or feel or hear, yet at the same time, he felt himself rushing through a dark abyss, a void that hummed and whispered, "Set me free." Before he could hear more, the air around him became hot, searing. As he sucked in a heaving dry lungful, he caught a hint of ash and brimstone. Only one place he could be. Hell. On the bonus side, he didn't find himself in the cell he'd visited before. This time, he was on a mezzanine floor, red and amber striated stone, a film of dust overlaying it. With him was Isabel, her features gray, her breath but the barest whisper of movement. Hands, the fingers not quite human, long and gray, some of them green and claw-tipped, reached for Isabel. Chris slapped at them until Bambi grabbed his wrist and said, "Stop it. They're going to help her." He watched and tried not to flinch as the creatures that were only vaguely human in appearance shifted Isabel from the floor to a gurney. He had to wonder how anyone could fix that kind of damage. Human doctors surely couldn't. "Can they fix her?" He couldn't help a hopeful lilt. "Of course they can fix her. We have the best doctors serving in hell. Pisses Uncle God off to no end. But it's his fault for making his rules on entrance so strict.
So she's not going to die?
Not today, she isn't.
But she could have, because I failed her.
She still might, if I don't protect her.
Why did they want her? He asked his sister, using the question to stem his intense desire to rush after the gurney. The rational part of him knew he'd only get in the way. He didn't fucking care. He needed something to distract him.
I'm not sure, but I'm going to guess it's because she's part of your prophecy. She must have some important role to play. Eliminate Isabel, and they shifted somehow.
It made sense, and yet a crease still formed between his eyes. Why would my mother want to stop me, though? I thought she wanted me to take over hell.
Does she? Have you talked to her and discussed exactly what she wants from you?
Actually, he'd not heard her voice since Laveau's house. But he doubted she'd given up. I don't know what she wants. And I don't give a fuck.
Maybe it's time you did, little brother. In case you haven't noticed, people aren't too happy you showed up.
The attempts on my life might be a clue, was his dry reply.
Expect them to increase. Word is still getting out about your existence. Once those opposed to you truly get organized, it will only get worse.
Worse than angels coming after me? He arched a brow.
You obviously haven't met the Templars. Fanatics, even worse than the angels.
I find that hard to believe.
Being the Antichrist isn't all about getting laid and drunk.
Which really blew. What exactly were the perks again?
Oh, yeah, eventual world domination.
What do you propose I do about the pissers and moaners? I can't exactly change the facts of my birth.
Nor did he care to. His time had finally come.
No, you can't change who you are, but perhaps you need to change the narrative to make people understand you're not out to destroy the world. He blinked because, hello? It's my destiny.
Only if you, she emphasized, make it your destiny, you still have a choice.
That didn't mesh with the indoctrination of his youth. But everyone says, her red-tipped finger jabbed him in the chest.
Everyone isn't you. You are the one who makes the choices. You are the one this affects. Let me ask you, why do you want to rule the world and take over hell?
Why? That was simple. Because it's my birthright.
It's your birthright to start a planet-encompassing war, pit heaven against hell, get rid of our father, and start a reign of terror?
When you say it like that, it doesn't sound so cool. Actually, it sounded downright evil, but not in a way that made him smile and want to rub his hands in glee.
What do you get out of it?
Uh-huh, this he could answer. A title, money, power. People obeying him, respect at last.
You already have those things. You are the Prince of Hell. You have access to the Baphomet riches if you so choose, although it might come with strings. Father isn't one to just hand over the gold doubloons. You have access to so many resources. You have so much power already. How much more do you need? How much is enough?
A good question he'd never thought to ask himself. Why am I doing this? Because it was his destiny. A destiny foisted onto him by others and old prophecies. Did he really want to start a world war? Did he really want to kill and destroy? The very fact that God and his minions thought he did had almost cost Isabel her life. So long as he followed this path, they would try again. And again. Was a destiny chosen for him by strangers worth that price?
What's this I hear about someone harming my future daughter-in-law?
Lucifer blustered as he swept into the emergency room area, his dark cape swelling behind him. Impressive, and a reminder that Chris stood there in grime-covered clothes that even a bum might turn up his nose at.
You do know they tried to kill me, too.
Actually, Chris came out with barely a scratch, which, in retrospect, seemed odd.
Eyeing him with a curled lip, Lucifer replied,
I see they failed.
Your concern warms me, was his dry rejoinder.
Stop whining. It's unmanly.
Resisting the urge to scratch his